Hello, and welcome to Networking Unleashed, Building Profitable Connections. Welcome back to the show, folks. I'm your host, Michael Foreman, and you're listening to the podcast where networking is more than just awkward handshakes and bad coffee. It's an art and a talent. But here's the twist. It's an art and talent you can actually learn. Yes, even if you're the person hiding in the corner every event pretending to check emails. Networking isn't just a nice skill to have. It's a game changer. And when you get good at it, you'll wonder why you didn't start sooner. More connections, more opportunities, more profits. It's like unlocking a cheat code for life. So whether you're the life of the party or the just let me stay at home and text type, we've got something for you. So stick around and let's turn those awkward small talk moments into big wins. Now, I have a guest today. Her name is Amanda Greenberg, Amanda Brooke Greenberg, and she's got quite an extensive background. I'm read you a little part of it. Amanda is the founder of the A Initiative and social media influencer with the at symbol from Apple to Orange, a Miami resident by way of New York City, with over 15 years of experience in marketing and communications, Amanda has a broad expertise in working with clients in the fashion, lifestyle, beauty, and hospitality industries. So before I butcher this any more than I already have, Amanda, welcome to the podcast. And please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your background.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here today. I'm honored. And yeah, so my background started in New York City. I interned for a magazine in college and then immediately moved to the city right after I graduated, took a job doing PR for a fine jewelry brand. I was the assistant level at that time. Learned everything I could from my first boss. She was incredible, still in contact with her today, and soaked up all the information I could and then made my way up in that company. Then I switched over to an agency where I had a range of clients in the fashion space, big retailers and e-tailers like Bergdorf Goodman and Net-a-Porter Group and Home Shopping Network, and then also some contemporary and luxury fashion brands. So we worked with everybody from Marquesa to Aritzia and Uniqlo, and then some smaller, less known brands that we helped build and create. And then after being in New York for a decade, I moved down to Miami and went into hospitality PR because there isn't such an amazing fashion industry down here. And I wanted to make sure that I was, you know, working in the industry that made sense for the market. And I took a job as PR director and communications director for Nikki Beach, which is a global hospitality brand. They have restaurants, beach clubs, and hotels and resorts all around the world across their social media division. I did all the internal and external communications. And then I also did a lot of networking there and learning and growing as an in-house or professional. And then I also simultaneously had just started my social media platform, which is from Apple to Orange, as you said. So from the Big Apple, New York, to the Florida Orange, and started parallel pathing with that, growing a following on my Instagram platform. And then right after COVID, I took a step back, looked at my life, as many of us did at the time, and said, where am I going? What are my goals? How am I going to reach them? And I realized that while I loved my job, it was time to step out on my own. And I started the A Initiative, which is my marketing and PR agency. I work with a range of clients now, pulling in from all of my background experience. So fashion, lifestyle, beauty, hospitality, F&B, and nonprofit. So that's a quick overview. Not so quick.
That's okay, but you can see why I handed it over, because I didn't want to butcher it any more than I already have. So I thank you for that. Okay, so first off, how has your approach to networking evolved over your 15-year career in marketing and communications?
Yeah, so that is a great question, and it's definitely evolved as I've gotten more mature and confident. I think confidence is a big part of it, and in order to have confidence, you really have to understand what you're doing. When I started my first PR job at the fine jewelry brand in New York City, my boss at the time kept saying to me, you need to make editor relationships. These magazine editors are going to be the bread and butter of your success as you grow in your career for traditional PR. And she would challenge me to take out a certain amount of editors to lunch or dinner or manicures, whatever it was, or a walk at least once a week. And that was like part of my measurement of success in that role. So she really pushed me into it. I remember feeling so uncomfortable at times, especially if I was taking out editors that were my senior and not really always knowing what to say to them. And then as I did it more, I got more and more comfortable. Now, over 15 years later, I feel like I can walk into a room, commands the attention of a conversation as I need to, learn from people that I'm speaking with, and I'm a completely different type and style of networker at this point.
Yeah, everybody has that certain somebody that kind of pushed them, that was either their mentor or something else, but everybody has that person. And it sounds like she was very good to you and pushed you in the right direction.
Yeah, she was great to me. And when I went out and started my own agency, she actually is the first person that really threw me business and let me also work on some of her clients so that I could get my footing. So I am forever appreciative and indebted to her.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's change it to your industry itself. How does networking differ in the fashion, lifestyle, beauty, in hospitality industries compared to other sectors?
It's much more casual. I think that even going on a job interview in this industry is much more casual than I would imagine a finance interview or a legal interview or a medical professional. For fashion, for example, the way you show up, what you're wearing matters. If you want to look and feel the part for whatever job you're trying to get. And it's similar with networking, right? In this industry, you want to understand who you're stepping into a room with and make sure that you're appropriate for that group of people. So if I'm going somewhere and I know it's going to be like a bunch of restaurant industry professionals, bartenders, servers, general managers, like they're probably going to be more chill. So I'm probably going to wear jeans and come with a more vibrant approach and have a cocktail with them and chill and relax versus maybe a fashion industry event. I'm for sure putting on heels. I'm definitely going to make sure I look really polished, and I'm going to have probably just read Women's Wear Daily the past couple issues, so I know what's going on, so I have things to speak to them about. I love networking in my type of industry because I think that people are so passionate about what they do. So the communication on the topic of what we do is so important versus maybe at an illegal event, you don't want to talk about your caseload as heavily, but we are talking about our industry nonstop because we're creative and it's so much in our DNA.
It's great. You mentioned your Instagram handle and how much you increased your followers. How do you balance the digital and the traditional networking that you've experienced?
That's a great question. Digital networking should feel a lot like in-person networking. In order to form relationships with people, you need to reach out to them and connect on a point that resonates with them, right? If you want to make a digital relationship, you're going to comment on somebody else's posts, find things that are a commonality that you can speak to. Maybe you're going to send them a direct message and tell them that you loved something or that you did something similar. And you're going to start building friends online by doing that. It's imperative when you're networking in my industry to have some sort of digital presence because that footprint is almost like your business card. So I put as much emphasis on digital marketing as I do on in-person marketing.
Yay. Wow. That's good. So tell me, what's your secret to turning initial connections into long-term relationships?
Being authentic really helps. You need to, I've said this, but you need to find a commonality with the person. So whether you approach a conversation and you ask them about their family, or you create a genuine friendship because you compliment somebody's earrings, or ordering the same drink at the event, find a commonality and kind of use that as a kickoff to the conversation. And then try not to be awkward. Try to have some questions in your head before you go somewhere to network that you can ask everybody. For example, it was just South Beach Wine and Food Festival here in Miami. So maybe if I was at an event this week trying to network and it was within the hospitality crowd, I would say to everybody, did you go to events for SoBe Wine and Food Festival? Did you enjoy them? Did you meet any cool chefs? Have things in your head that you can speak about. And I think the other point that I always like to make is that follow-up's really important. So figure out in that scenario what type of follow-up makes the most sense. As we talked about, my industry is a little bit more casual, so people don't really have business cards on them as much. So people will generally connect through social media, or maybe they'll give you an email address. And I always like to be in control of the follow-up. So I'll make sure to get everybody's contact information that I have spoken to, and I will do the follow-up the next morning, as opposed to relying on somebody else to follow up with me. And I will always bring in something that we talked about in person when I do the follow-up. So, hey, so great to meet you last night. Don't forget to send me the link to the earrings you were wearing so I can order them too. Or, oh my God, that chef that you met at South Beach Food and Wine Festival sounds like such a great guy. I'm going to go try out his restaurant next week. Just so you can continue the conversation in an organic way. Yeah.
You hit on so many points that is so important that I don't know if everybody got what you were saying. It's important to be authentic, to be present. That's first and foremost, confidence. That's another very important part of this. But the know you, like you, trust you really comes into it because they'll do business with you. I've said this on 1,000 podcasts. To know you, everybody knows you. You're a great girl. That's just the way it is. But like you, that narrows down the field just a little bit because everybody's not going to like you. But trust you, that's so crucial. That is the crucial factor in all of this. And once you gain that trust factor, you have the things in your head that you want to ask and everything else to keep you calm, so to speak. But another point that you hit the nail right on the head was the follow-up. Mm-hmm. And the follow-up is probably more important than actually meeting the person.
Yeah.
Because your follow-up is so, so very important. So I can go on all day with your answers just from that one point.
Thank you. And I think one other thing that I always like to mention is put your ego away, because when you lead with that, you're never going to make a genuine relationship and no one will trust you. Just be chill, be kind, and genuinely interested. And if you're not connecting with somebody like that, then okay, maybe that's not the best person to have a conversation with at that moment and move on. And not everybody, like you said, is gonna like you, and that's fair.
That's fair, because listen, you're not everything to everybody. You have to pick your lane. And if they don't like you, they don't like you, you move on. Mm-hmm. It's very simple. How important is personal branding in networking, especially in image conscious industry like fashion and beauty?
1,000,000% important. My PR agency job in New York was very intense. We were working with such major brands. We were with celebrities all the time. There were celebrities in and out of the office. It was like top tier. And the owner of the agency would walk around and make sure that we were all dressed appropriately. And if not, I would have to send people home for my team to change and come back to the office, which candidly probably wouldn't be appropriate today. But at the time, it flew. And that was because they would always say to us, if you can't go to Anna Wintour's desk right now, who was the editor-in-chief of Vogue, or is, then you can't wear that. So that was a fashion PR job, right? But that taught me that the image that you present is always important. And I pay attention to those details on other people. I think if you're a content creator, what is your vibe? Aside from what you're saying, right? But what are you trying to convey? I think sometimes people discount how much of your exterior image can impact your ability to do business in certain industries. And it shouldn't be looked at as fluffy or a negative. I actually look at it in the opposite way. Take control of it. You know what's going to work, so do it. And if you don't know what's going to work in a specific industry, research it. See what successful people in that career field have done and figure out how to interpret what they're doing in a way that feels organic to you. Don't ever do anything that doesn't feel organic to you, but try to pull in inspiration from other people to influence what you're doing.
That's so true. Listen, I was in the Air Force for 9 years, so I always had to make sure that I looked tight, as they called it. Mm-hmm. But when I got out of the Air Force and into corporate, I realized that I would look at somebody, but I would look down at their shoes and see whether or not they had polished shoes. Not today's day that they were sneakers with suits, and I don't know. I don't get all that. But you look down at their shoes. If their shoes are polished and clean, then they're okay, that they dressed appropriately. If they're dressed nicely but unpolished shoes, then that leaves the door open a little bit. But that's my way.
Nails, also a big one for me. On a man, are your nails like kempt? You know, is there dirt under your nails? Because I don't want somebody cooking for me that has dirt under their nails. I wouldn't want my doctor having dirt under their nails. So that's like a huge one for me.
Absolutely. And a big one for me. I'm glad you said it, but it's the same thing for me. This next question, everybody has to take a moment and think about it.
Okay.
What's the biggest networking mistake you've seen in your career? And how can my listeners avoid it? See, everybody does that double take.
So I see people do this all the time, and it's not just in networking. It's in communication, conversations with people. Not listening to what the other person is saying and only thinking about what you want to say and the point you want to make, so that when you reply, you're not replying accurately and you make the person that you're speaking to feel completely discounted because you're not addressing the point that they just said because you so badly need to make your point. In networking, that can be detrimental because people are going to be like, wow, this person only wants to talk about themselves or needs to drive something home so hard that they don't care what I have to say. And they're going to remember you, but they're not going to remember you for the right reason.
Absolutely. Listen, I'm paid to go on stages, do breakout sessions, keynotes. I do workshops for companies. And that's a very important point that I bring out. I call it active listening. You listen to the person completely, and then you pause at the end of it. What does that pause do? It tells the other person you're listening to them, and you don't respond by the next thing that you want to say. You respond to something that they said. Mm-hmm. And it goes such a long way, but that listening and that pause is so very important. Mm-hmm. Okay. How do you measure the success or ROI of your networking efforts in the marketing world?
I guess with the ability to do things quickly. So what I mean by that is that if I have the right relationships on behalf of a client, I should be, at this point in my career, able to move things forward for a project or a partnership or an event or a press placement in a rather speedy way because I have the right connections to lean on to get the job done.
Great. That's good. Okay, so give me a strategy for maximizing networking opportunities at industry events or trade shows.
So again, it's dependent on the industry, but generally speaking, I would say walk into the room, survey the room, look around, take it in, maybe walk to the bar, get a drink, even if it's a cup of water, just so you have something in your hand, and figure out who you want to speak to, and then observe for a second, and then walk over to them, try to start a conversation. If they're already speaking to a group of people, maybe you pause and you listen to what they're saying and you figure out how you can actually get involved in that conversation. If it's a one-on-one conversation, do what I said before, which is have something in your head in advance that you can say to them or compliment them on something. And then wrap that up, get their contact information, and move on to the next person. If you're in a networking situation like that, I imagine your objective is to speak to as many people in the room as possible, or that's what my objective would be. Politely wrap up conversations. Don't make people think that you're doing that in a rude way. And I'm sure we've all also been part of conversations where you've feel the person that you're speaking to looking beyond you, knowing that they want to talk to somebody maybe that's behind you. Do not do that. That's so uncomfortable. So stay focused when you're with the person that you're speaking to. Be present in that conversation and then say, okay, great. I know we're here both to meet other people. I'll follow up with you tomorrow. It was lovely to meet you. And then move on.
And you hit so many points of correct networking. That I can't even begin to say where, because I'm telling you, because every time that you said, when, especially when you're listening, when you're pausing, when you have to build that rapport with the other person, I use something called FORM, F-O-R-M, family, occupation, recreation, and a message. And I pick anyone to talk to them about, to the person about. So I just have that word in my head. So, all right, family, with a wife, a husband, a sister, a son, a daughter, whatever, little league, football, junior football, I can talk about anything, but occupation, whatever their occupation might be. So I pick something, and most of all, I have them talk about themselves. I have them speak it, because what? People love to talk about themselves.
Always.
But the more that they talk, the higher the trust level goes up and the barrier comes down slowly. So it opens up relations a little bit, but that's for another conversation. Okay. Given your extensive experience, what emerging networking trends do you foresee for the next 5 years? In the next 5 years?
A heavier play on digital and social media networking. A lot of people who have been in their industries for longer don't totally understand or value those digital relationships through Instagram or Facebook or TikTok or LinkedIn. But as they shift out of the career industry and the younger generations continue to step in, I think that the emphasis on digital and your digital footprint will become more and more important.
That's great. Amanda, I can't begin to tell you how great you did on this podcast. You hit the networking right on the head. I just expanded what you had to say because networking, I feel, is the base of all businesses. You have to network in order to go out and get more business, but you have to network correctly. So you don't look bad. You don't look this way or that way. So if you do it correctly, you'll do it very well, such as yourself. Amanda, if anybody wants to get hold of you for whatever the reason, for any of your multiple categories, how would they do it?
Thank you for asking that. So you can find me on Instagram at From Apple to Orange and slide into my DMs. I will definitely reply to you there. And then my business handle is at The A Initiative. So The, T-H-E-A, and then Initiative. Nobody can ever spell some for some reason, but I-N-I-T-I-A-T-I-V-E. And you can also message me there. I would love to hear from everyone.
That's great. Amanda, thank you very much. And hopefully we'll talk soon.
Sounds good. Thank you for having me.
Wait, we are sponsored by author Rodney Davis. Struggling to reach success? Maybe it's time to quit. In Quit Your Way to Success by Rodney Davis reveals the 27 steps to breaking bad habits that hold you back. This powerful book helps you to rewire your mindset, take control of your actions, and turn setbacks into stepping stones. With real-life examples, motivational quotes, and actionable lessons, especially for sales professionals, you'll gain the tools to quit while stopping you and start winning. Transform your future today. Get Quit On Your Way to Success by Rodney Davis, available now on Amazon. Well, that's a wrap, folks. A huge thank you to our special guest for sharing such incredible insights today. And of course, a big shout out to you, our amazing listeners, for tuning in and spending your time with us. Remember, networking isn't about being perfect. It's about being present. So take what you've learned today, get out there, and make some meaningful connections. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, leave us a review, and share it with someone who could use a little networking inspiration. Let's keep the conversation going. You can find me on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or my website, michaelaforeman.com. Remember, until next time, keep practicing, keep connecting, and keep building those relationships. This is Michael A. Foreman signing off. Take care and happy networking.